Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here. And I'm going to give you some Greek words this morning. Really, really fun Greek words. And then we're going to look at about five or six other verses which kind of help to fill in the picture of the message that God has given us as Pinnacle Bible Church here this morning. As we do, think about those who can't be here with us this morning because of sickness and illness, and there's a whole lot of this stuff going around, and we've been in two or three different doctor's offices and clinics over the last couple of weeks, and they are saying how bombarded they are with both upper respiratory congestion, cough, and that kind of stuff, and also with the flu bug, the stomach, the vomiting, diarrhea kind of stuff. And it's some people even have a mixture and a combination of those two. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. People that I work with have had people out in their families because of strep throat and flu, the combination of those. So we're under attack right now. And just remember and think about those folks. Just lift them in prayer. Ask that God would help us to quarantine and to stop spreading the stuff and to do whatever is necessary to keep us from catching and being exposed to these things as well. So we're in a new year. We've got a lot going on. I know that all of you do as well. And that's why I wanted to pause for a moment and think about what it is that brings you joy in life, what it is that you are thankful for, because typically those things are the same. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. I think I may have said chapter 1, but Luke chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Very, very familiar scripture. We probably read it three or four times as we did the Advent candle lighting, and we are familiar with this message of hope. The very first Noel that the angels did say to these shepherds as they were abiding in the field. So if you're there with me, Luke chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. In the old King James, it says, sore afraid. That means they're so afraid that it hurts. In verse 10 says, the angel said, do not be afraid, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I have to tell you all this. In preparing for the message today, Friday night, yesterday, last night, I had no message for today. And I kept praying about it, and I would open my Bible, and I would read, and I would study. And we have sick little ones at our house, and last night, for a period of about 2 hours, Megan and I were cleaning up stuff, and it was just not fun at all. And I'm sorry about that, but it's true. And at about midnight, I sat back down again after we'd kind of Lysoled and cleaned and washed and dried and all this kind of stuff and gotten medicine into little tummies. And all three of them, Ryan, Riley, and Reese, sick at the same time. And so I sat down at midnight, and there were still dishes that I needed to do, which I didn't get done, by the way, so I'm in trouble for that. And I didn't have a message still. And I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking, and I'm flipping open my Bible, and it's midnight, and I'm tired, and I'm sleepy, and I'm worried about the girls and the rest of us not getting sick, and on and on and on. And the thought kept going through my mind and my heart, finally, once I cleared everything out enough for God to be able to say, here's what we need to talk about tomorrow, was good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I just thought about that. Why is this euangelion, the gospel, the good message of God's love, why is this a tiding of great joy? What is it about this that should give us joy? And we talked about this last week, and we studied the fact that this gospel, this first message of the gospel, which was delivered to the shepherds and then has been delivered to hopefully to all mankind, is that through this God was bringing salvation, and that salvation, in that salvation gift, is wrapped up all of life. And so We talked about that, and I just got to thinking about the things that bring me joy. And after all that happened last night, I'm thinking this has not been a joyous evening at the Ombi household. It's been a messy evening, and it's been a trying evening, and it's been a tiring evening. And so if you think about life, and I think about my job sometimes and how challenging it is, and I think about us as a church, and we want to do what's right and good, and yet we all have things going on in our lives that prohibit us, and we all make choices and decisions that prohibit us, well, how can there be joy? How can life and joy coexist? How can these things happen? And so I just started thinking about that and praying about it, and the scripture kept going over and over in my mind. Good tidings of great joy. And so I want to give you those three Greek words real quickly because they start to paint a picture. It's great to me in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit when God uses Greek words. Sometimes they seem like fancy words, but they're not really fancy words. They're the words that were being used at the time to communicate God's love. But these three words are just... They have a picture that is associated with them. And so the first one is good tidings, and it is euangelion. It is E-U-A-N-G-E-L, the word angel's right in the middle of it there, the messenger of God. E-U-A-N-G-E-L-I-O-N. And it is the gospel message, the good message. It is a message that has value to it. It is a message that comes from the source of all goodness, God the Father himself on his throne. And the two words for great joy are megas kara, M-E-G-A-S, which means a lot, huge, overwhelming, and kara, which means cheerful and filled with calm delight. That was all I needed last night, right there. An overwhelming bucket filled with cheerfulness and calm delight. Why? Megas is M-E-G-A-S. Kara is C-H-A-R-A.
C-H-A-R-A.
Kara. Joy. It's translated joy, joyfulness, rejoice. Several different ways that word is used in the New Testament. Which made me think immediately about delight. Which made me think about Psalm 37, which is in the heart on the wall here, which says for us to delight ourselves also in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. So the word joy is tied to delight, which is tied to our heart, which is tied to God's goodness, which is tied to him giving us the desires of our heart, him affecting the way we think and what it is that we want and what it is that we feel that we need and want and desire. The desires of our heart are all tied back to this joy, which is wrapped up in the message of hope which came to us through Jesus the Christ. And so when you start thinking about delighting ourselves also in the Lord so that he can give us the desires of our heart, when we think about joy, delight, calm delight, which means calm in the midst of the storm. When the disciples were in the boat with Jesus and the storm was attacking the ship and they thought they were going to die and Jesus was asleep, he was filled with calm delight. He was resting because he knows who is in charge. He is in charge. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That should bring you joy, calm delight. You should rest in that. You should grab hold of that. That should be your anchor in the storm. That should be what provides for you the ability to know and to understand that it is going to be okay. This too shall pass. God's still in charge. God's still Romans 8:28-ing it. God is still Isaiah 41:10-ing it. Romans 8:28. For God is working all things together for good for those of us who love him, who are called according to his purpose. In Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. These things should bring us calm delight. The fact that I am his, that I am wrapped in his hands and cannot be plucked out. And so when this message, this good tiding of great joy, the reason it was great joy is that there is a calmness and a delight which comes from knowing what you know. And what God has desired for us is to increase what we know so that our joy can increase as well. So that our calm, cheerful delight in being alive, in being in a part of his plan, in knowing what Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. And so even in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of three little sick ones, in the midst of not having a message and needing a message and worrying about it and fretting about it, Psalm 37 says, fret not, stop worrying about these things. And so I've got some verses here to go through with you, if you'll bear with me, as we talk about and think about what it is that brings you joy. How can you, being a child of God, result in joy in your heart and in your life? How can you, being a child of God and knowing what you know, or hopefully learning more about what it is that God wants us to know, how can these things bring you calm delight in your heart? How can these truths be the source of ability for you, ability to handle stuff? How can these things, which God has given us, all things necessary for godliness and righteousness, how can these things result in joy in my life when I'm under attack, when I'm in turmoil, when I have an old sin nature which keeps dragging me over this way? How can these things transform me into a person filled with cheerful, calm delight? How can this simple message that unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, how can this result in joy for me? For one thing, it results in joy for me in that I know that because I have believed in Him, I am now a child of the Most High. So one of the things on my list that brings me joy that I am thankful for is that I am now a child of the Most High, adopted into His family. That's on my list. It's one of my seven things. I couldn't just write seven, so I wrote it on my notes here as I was preparing for today. And I actually have 9 or 10 things that are listed, and that's not even a start. That's just scratching the surface of the things which bring me joy and of the things that I am thankful for. You are on my list. I am thankful for you. You bring me joy. The fact that you come and sit and are here to worship and to learn and have the desire to be more like Christ, and that you do it as a part of our church family, that brings me joy and delight. Sometimes it's not calm delight because I'm fretting about what I'm going to do when I stand up here, but for the most part, it is. Because I know that He's still in charge. I know that He has called us to do this morning. And I know how peaceful and calming that it is to look out and see the light go off when God, through His Word, communicates to us what it is that He wants us to know. When He desires that we understand those three Greek words, euangelion, megas, kara, a great message of calm delight that He has given to us. This great message of calming delight, the source of cheerfulness, the source of life that He has given in this message, the source of life, the ability for us to not have to worry about eternity. We can stop worrying about eternity. It is resolved. That made me think about this song as I was sitting there praying and studying last night. It is well. It is well with my soul. Why? Because I have this message. Evangelion, euangelion, megas, kara. I have this message of cheerful, calm delight. And it is a great message. Because my eternity is now resolved. I don't have to worry about it or be concerned about it anymore. So, a couple of verses here to think about. One is Psalm chapter 16. Verses 8 through 11, I'm going to read those for you. The end of Psalm 16 sums it up. Psalm 16, then we're going to go back to John 15. Psalm 16. Verses 8 through 11. How can I have cheerful, joyful life, calm delight in my heart because of Him? This is the answer. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. I have set the Lord always before me. That has to do with attitude and choice, right? For there to be joy in my heart, I got the joy down in my heart. In order for that to happen, there's a cause and effect. There is, in our spiritual life, a way to go about living our spiritual life. King David, writing the psalm, here Psalm 16, verse 8, says, I have set the Lord always before me. What is my focus? What is the most important thing in my life? What is the number, number one thing that I'm thankful for? I have to tell you this. I wrote down family. On both of my lists, What brings me joy and what am I thankful for? I wrote down family first. I did not write down God and His love for me in Jesus Christ first. I was honest. And yet, the family that I have is because of God and His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His love. Our family is unique. Your family is unique. We all have uniqueness in our families. We all have issues. We all have people we don't want others to meet in our family. I'm kidding about that. There are things, and yet God has given us this family as a source of joy and delight, and sometimes an opportunity for us to be Jesus to them, and sometimes an opportunity for them to be Jesus to us. And you realize that God knows what He's doing. We can't choose these things. We can accept and be thankful for. And so here the psalmist is talking about our focus. How is it that I can delight myself in the Lord? Well, first of all, I have to have Him ever before me. I have to shift my focus. If you read the little bulletin, the words in the middle of the bulletin, which have been printed on here for probably 5 or 6 months now. The middle of the bulletin says, "Let our heart ever be turned heavenward to the God of all creation through the agent of all creation, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what the psalmist is writing here. "I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth." In other words, I have cheerful, calm delight because the Lord is ever before me. I know where I'm headed. I know that I'm in the place I'm in because of Him. I know that I have what I have because of Him. I know that I don't have what I don't have because of Him. I know that these things that are on my list are because of Him. I know that my list is ever increasing because of Him. Things to be thankful for and things which bring me joy. It is ever increasing because of Him. I know that as I decrease and He increases in me, there will be more joy. I know that the more I think like Him, the more I'm able to be Christ-like in my life, and the more joy there is and the more peace there is, because the stuff that swirls around tends to go away. It tends to fall away. It just does. The baggage that I try to pull along behind me gets lighter and lighter because it becomes of less importance. I stop worrying about how guilty I am because I mess up and fail and fall short of the glory of God. And I realize that we all mess up and fail and fall short of the glory of God. And I realize that that's not His issue with us. His issue with us is, where is my focus? Have I set the Lord always before me or not? If you want more joy, if you want joy to be a part of your everyday life, the Lord has to be set before you. And He says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope." These words are great, powerful words. To find joy and rest and hope, we have to set the Lord ever before us. "For Thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will You suffer Your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life." A big part of worry, anxiety is, what do I do next? Where do I go next? How do I do this? How do I handle this? For Lindley Houston, do I live in Virginia? Do I move back to Tennessee? How do I do this? Lord, what would You have me to do? Do I work down there and live up here? Do I drive back and forth and worry my mom to death? Ha ha. Do I go to school at Berea? Do I go to school at University of the Cumberlands? I've got a degree now, Lord. How would You like me to use it? There's more than one in here like that. And He says, "Thou will show me the path of life. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord." When your focus is Him, everything else falls into place. When your focus is having the Lord set before you always, there is the promise of cheerful, calm delight in your heart, which results in He will give you the desires of your heart. When you're not even sure what that is, He's still going to give it to you, because that's who God is. That's the God part of this. It's not the us part of this. It's the God part of this. Our part is to keep Him ever before us. It is to learn His words. It is to think like Christ. It is to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Okay, we're done here, except we need to finish verse 11. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. You want to know where it comes from? Being in his presence. Allowing him to be a part of who you are, what you think, what you do, what you say, how you are, how you respond, how you handle challenges of life, how you make decisions and choices. Did you pray about that? Has anybody ever asked you, well, did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? Have you prayed about it? Did you pray about your list? I did, because I was worried that I put family before God. And then I realized that I really wasn't putting family before God, because I have family because of God. What he has given me is my family. What he has given us is our church family. All of these are gifts from him. Every good gift in the book of James says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. You can make a long list of those good gifts and perfect gifts. Of course, there's only one perfect gift, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. But every good gift in our lives comes from him, in whom there's no shadow, there's no changing. He's not this way today and that way tomorrow. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when James says every good gift and every perfect gift, he's saying when you write your list, you realize what the source is. You realize where it comes from. It comes from him. And so we finish up here by saying that in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Do you want to find this calm delight? Get into his presence. How do you do that? Through his word, through prayer, through spending some time with him. Joyce, how do I set the Lord always before me? He's always there. We know that. He's told us that. How do I recognize that? By choosing to spend time there. Do you need to go into your closet? Do you need to find a quiet place? Do you need to do it while you're driving? Do you need to actually break out your Bible at home and lay it on the table with the pages open so you can read it and see it? I'm not sure what it is. I don't have the answer to that. God did not call me to tell you how to live your life. He simply says that he will show me the path that is right for me, and that in his presence is the fullness of joy. What a great gift that just to be in his presence results in joy and calm delight in understanding that he's still in charge and that I am his and that I am unpluckable, that I'm in his hands and can't be removed, and that whatever else is happening, I'm still here. Are you in good hands? I'm not going to do an Allstate commercial, but it's true. You are. All right, let's go back to John chapter 15. We're almost finished. Thank you for your patience. These good tidings of great joy came on the night that the gift was given. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Excuse me. As you're writing your list, what am I thankful for and what gives me the most joy? What brings me joy in my life? What will you allow to be the major focus in your life? What is your choice? What do you choose to spend the most time on? Most of us, it's work and making a living. Some of us, it's spending time with family. Some of us, it's trying to figure out the next step and where to go in life. But Jesus says, here's a way to guide you through those steps. Here's a way to figure out how to spend your time well. Here's a way to say on a regular basis, it is well with my soul. Here's a way to say on a regular basis, I have cheerful, calm delight because of the goodness of God's love for me in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. I'm not just going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Continue in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will continue in my love. So there's a cause and effect again. Here's your to-do list. How do I keep the Lord ever before me? By continuing in his commandments. How do I continue his commandments? By learning his commandments. How do I learn his commandments? By studying his word. How do I study his word? By opening my Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to be my teacher and guide. God's promise to us that when Christ ascended to heaven, he was going to send the Comforter who will teach you all things that are necessary for life and godliness. Who will provide all that you will need. Within you is the greatest teacher to ever live. God the Holy Spirit, who teaches about Christ. He's not teaching about himself. He's not teaching about the gifts that he gives. He's not teaching about creation. He's not teaching about the world. He's teaching about Christ, who is God revealed to us. And so verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he says, these things I have spoken unto you, these words which have power, which are the words of life, these words I have spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Where is the fullness of joy? In the presence of God. How do we find the presence of God? By learning and keeping his commandments, wherein we're able to abide in his love. These things happen and are provided to us as we grow through the process of learning and keeping and abiding in his love. Learning and keeping and abiding in his word, which is the source of joy. These things have I spoken unto you. These words are spoken. These concepts are true directly from the throne of creation because they provide joy to you. They will provide the cheerful, calming delight that you need in order to be able to live life and have it filled with joy. Even in attack, even under distress, even when things are uncertain, even when you don't know the answer, he still said, I will be there with you to provide these things for you. If you'll focus on the truth will set you free. Free from worry, free from anxiety, free from doing it my way, free from an old sin nature, free from lust, free from inability, free from lack, free from all of this stuff, which causes our delight to be limited. He doesn't want our delight to be limited. He wants it to be full. He has said it here. These things I've spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that it will be full. Jesus said, I came to bring life into so that we can have it abundantly. He wants our lives to be filled with joy, not just a little speck of joy here and a little speck of joy there. I want the fullness of joy and he wants it for us. One more verse. It may be two more verses. Maybe three more verses. Galatians 5:22. When you choose to live your spiritual life, when you choose to put the Lord ever before you, when you choose in your spiritual life to let that be the source of who you are, there are fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. And the first two are love and joy and peace and long-suffering. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy? Absolutely. Why? Because what you know when you're abiding in His love is that He's got it all under control. That even though there is evil, and even though there is sickness, and even though there is messing upness, and even though there is stickerdom, and even though there is, we are still being lovified by Him, through His presence and His power and His peace. No.
This is my favorite scripture, and this is the way I look at it. If you have love and joy, love plus joy equals peace. And then if you have peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control all come because of the peace that comes from the love and joy.
They all tie together to create a rope of His love wrapped around us, which is not just in us. It's talking about fruit. It's talking about things that come out. Love, joy, which equals peace, which leads to patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Self-control? Not self-control. And so, as I'm sitting here thinking that last night, as we're studying, as these scriptures keep coming, Galatians 5:22, Psalm 16, John 15, it leads me to Philippians 4:8. Therefore, in order for there to be delight, my focus has to be on things that are good and right and just and perfect, which all point back to Him, the source of things that are good and right and just and perfect. So Philippians 4:8 is the next verse. Therefore, think on these things. I think that's going to be my next memory verse because I don't have it all memorized and I want to. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, are honest, are just, are pure, are lovely, are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The result? What you think results in a calm delight, which fills you with a cheerfulness, which comes from the throne of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Last verse, last section of verses, 1 John chapter 1, almost to the end of the Bible. We went from Philippians 4:8 now to 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to read all 10 verses, and I'm not going to say much about it as we read through. Just let Him fill you with what it is that He wants you to hear from this Scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and which we have touched, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show it to you, that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. I said I wasn't going to say much, but I can't help it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John is writing here. We're showing to you what has happened. We're showing and telling you what we've seen and heard and touched, what we've experienced. I am relating through words experience that I have now had. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we may have fellowship, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you that your joy may be full. We don't even have to finish the rest of it. You can look at it if you want to. Verses 6 through 10, 5 through 10. It's the same message He's saying, the same message that you've heard. These are words which bring you the fullness of joy because they change who you are. They transform you by the renewing of your mind. Stop being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed to a heart of delight. Be transformed to a heart filled with the cheerfulness of calm delight, knowing and understanding that you are a child of the Most High and that you are forever in a relationship with Him. Be transformed in your heart to be filled with cheerfulness and calm delight, because this message of goodness is alive. It is powerful. It is the message of God unto salvation. It is the provision for a way of life for us, a spiritual life, which is a newness in us. As we start this new year, the reason I think that God brought me to this is because as we enter, this is our first Sunday of the new year, of the year 2013, and as we celebrate the newness of this year and a new, I think we see new years as new opportunities to be better. To be a better me, to be a better dad, to be a better husband, to be a better pastor, to be a better brother, to be a better son, to be better, 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 better. The only way to be better is to be more like Christ. To grow to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. So our goal for Pinnacle Bible Church again this year, to continue to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, because that's where true joy is. In His words, where we abide in His love, where we're able to love one another, where we're able to forgive our enemies, where we're able to do what He's called us to do, to be who He's called us to be, those things result in the fullness of joy, which only comes from Him and through Him. A heart filled with the cheerfulness of calm delight. It is my goal and prayer for all of us for this year. A heart filled with the cheerfulness of calm delight. Because the result is then He then gives us the desires of our heart. Amen.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
In that scripture, that last scripture that you ended with, the word if, and I'm sure this is from you because I have it highlighted in my Bible. So I'm sure it's that you pointed this out. But if, it all starts with if. Like, okay, if you choose each day, then this is going to happen. It's like the joy of the year. If, but it's all up to us.
In the Greek, it's a third class condition. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. And if you do. You might not, but if you do. If the answer is yes. Our part is the if part. Do we, don't we? Do you, don't you? Would you, won't you, will you? Shall you? I hope you shall. It is a choice. And that's the result is a promise. The choice is ours. The result is a promise. So think about your list. Why are you thankful? What are you thankful for? What brings you the most joy? You're on my list. You're on my list. Hope you know that. I'm thankful for you. I love you. The book of Psalm, chapter 118. Before we sing some praise and worship music, just a couple of verses real quick to lead us into worship. My guitar is in tune, thanks to Mark. Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous now enter, I will praise thee, for you have heard me, and you become my salvation. The gospel, the message of hope in Jesus Christ. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee. You know those words, right? Hosanna. Save us now, we beseech thee. That's the Hebrew word for this scripture. Psalm 118, 20, 25. Save now, I beseech thee. Hosanna, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords even to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Shall we give thanks and praise him for his mercy endures forever? Y'all need to get a musical instrument if you want. Just let some praise and worship flow out. By the way, I'm recording this and it tells exactly how long I talked, just so that my wife will know that I was not long-winded today. 36 minutes. And she say, if you keep it to about 20, you'll be okay. So I went a little over. I'm sorry. She lovingly says that, of course.
You talk about joy. The reason I have joy is because I know the end of the story.
That's right.
It's in the book, isn't it?
That's right. Mm. Start with number 88. Hey, this is a chance, if you'd like to stand again, this is a chance for you to turn to somebody and point to them. It's not quite the point. And do it to them. And just tell them that you love them. That's a better way to keep going.
Oh, walk with Him along the way. It's gonna be okay. You know it's gonna be okay.
All right, number 85. Praise the Lord, thank you for this. Hey, I've experienced a resurrection this week. I was in a wheelchair most of the week, and didn't have any strength in my legs, and I was resurrected. Praise the Lord. Everybody got it? Let's praise Him, okay? This is an amazing song.
You are the living God, you are the one. You are the one with the wind. You are so bright. You fill my heart with delight. Everything you do is new. You send the light that comes down from above. You fill my heart with His love. Your hand is in everything that I see. I want to do what I please. I want you to lead. You are my hope. Yours is the voice that I need. What I really need is, I want to walk with you, I want to know the truth. Tell me, why am I here, and what should I do? You are the King of heaven and earth. You are the King. You are the King of heaven and earth. Our everything. You're the Prince of Peace. You're coming on a white horse to rescue me. Hallelujah, come Lord Jesus, come rescue me. Hallelujah, come Lord Jesus, come rescue me. You are so bright, you fill my heart with delight. Everything you do is new again. You send the light that comes down from above. You fill my heart with delight. Your hand is in everything that I see. You want to do what I please. I want you to lead. You are the King of heaven and earth. You are the King. You are the King of heaven and earth, of everything. You're the Lord of life. You're the Prince of Peace. You're coming on a white horse to rescue me. Hallelujah, come Lord Jesus. Rescue me. Hallelujah, come Lord Jesus. Come and rescue me. I'm gonna rescue me.
Hey, I've got 15 songs here. No, everything that Jeff said,
I'll just
a song about it. And this is a good one here. This is about joy.
Oh, you gotta have all we need is joy. Anybody think about it? Wanna know how to do it? Things you used to be, don't do any longer. You just don't want to do it. And you love to think about the one who made us. How we gave up and came. Come down and save your soul.
God getting everybody together, you know, to write the scriptures. That's beautiful.
pull it all together.
Yeah.
The river that flows by the throne of God.
Any prayer requests or praise reports as we finish up? Anything we need to share? Yes, ma'am. I'll let you go first.
Jackson just reminded me that it was 5 years ago today that he had his race that led him to end up coming to church here. So praise the Jackson had a 5 years ago.
Gee, thanks.
Absolutely. Riley's having some allergy kind of testing done this week as well. So,
just
yep, same time Tuesday morning. So, remember that, please. Yes, ma'am.
Brianna starts her last semester of undergraduate study Wednesday, and very soon we hope. She'll be getting letters that she has interviews for vet school. So continue to pray for that, please, because it should be happening very soon, right?
All right.
And I'm flying to Chicago on Wednesday, coming back on Friday, so just prayers for safe travels there. I don't know why they scheduled it in January, but they did. So. No, it's a dealer group leader meeting.
All right.
Brianna, you study hard because I'm going to start going to you instead of the doctor. Oh, it's good. He's dead. And prayers for a great, successful 2013. We're asking the Lord to help us with that.
Absolutely. Anyone else?
I'm praying for Jill and her family. Do you know why Jill was not here this morning? Anybody talk to her?
Mm-mm.
What about your cousin?
Dale, the guy that came.
Yes, so. Dale, what's the...
Teresa?
Yes, Dale and Teresa. I haven't spoken with him. I know that he's been working on Sundays and not been able to get off, so...
I'll take my GRE next week, so... Prayers for a really good school, hopefully.
All right. Do you know where you're going to go?
For grad school?
Yeah.
I'm down to a list of five, so...
Yeah? Can you share those with us?
Yeah, UT... Georgia, Western Carolina, Appalachian State, Ohio University.
I'm not
five, so.
Wow. Cool. And where is Ohio University?
Athens, Ohio.
Athens, Ohio. Okay.
That's where Patrick
Hunt is from.
Oh, okay. So we lived there for
4 years.
Yeah,
cool.
We should have had a surrogate mommy and daddy up there.
Yeah.
We
have
their best friends up there.
Wow. Awesome. So let's mark that one off right now. It's awfully far away. Yeah, really. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Mark.
I have to brag on Jackson. He made some paint for me the other day. And you know how you're trying to touch up a wall and it's just a little bit off? Perfect.
That's a praise.
All right. That's awesome. Do you have a prayer request?
I have two. First of all, safe travels. I will be here next weekend. I've got a tournament. And also, praise, please, that when the Berea coach comes to look at me, that he likes what he sees, and he'll go ahead and tell me that I can play volleyball there, so I can go ahead and start filling all my stuff out.
Do you know when he's coming, or is it going to be a surprise?
No, I know when he's coming. He's coming for this tournament and for the next tournament. He wants to meet me at this tournament, so he might cancel like all of his weekend plans for next weekend to come watch me play.
And it's in Louisville, and he's in Lexington, so he's only, you know, 45 minutes away from
me. Don't let that freak you out, Dusty, because you're good.
It's not, I'm not.
And don't put too much.
Calm delight. Did she hear the message this morning? Calm delight. Oh, that explains it.
It's in the heart
And this is just an age thing. If you put too much weight on any one thing, then you usually end up disappointing yourself. If you just roll with it and do the best you can do and know that you've done the best you can do, then you don't.
What really steps to meet anybody else's
truth. By the way, that's a Stevie Winwood song, Roll With It, Baby.
Yeah.
For those of you who are music. Yeah, and it'll be all right.
It'll all be fine. Yes, text somebody, text Allison when the coach is there, and we'll all pray.
That's it.
For calm delight. Yeah, we'll be there. So
somebody text somebody so we can
absolutely
pray.
We'll do.
When you pray for her, just lay her hand on top of her head and say calm delight.
I may have to smack her around a little. No, I'm just kidding. I would never
Chris
do that.
Has already told me already. She goes, if you start freaking out now, you're going to be a basket case when you play.
Yep. Just don't do it. All right. Any other prayer requests or praise reports?
Paul, he's sick.
Yeah. Oh, he is sick.
Sick.
Yeah. Wow. There's a lot of stuff going around.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shall we pray?
Hannah and Austin didn't make it back to California. They went through border control, and she said knives were okay, guns were okay, but apparently the oranges that Nana put in their stockings.
Really? Now, was that going into California? Knives are okay, guns are okay, but no oranges, please. We don't want you squirting orange juice in somebody's eye. All right, shall we pray? Loving God, with every prayer request that's been mentioned here and those who are unspoken, we lift them to your throne. And we, as you've asked us to, in Christ's name, approach your throne of grace to ask for help. And Father, we ask that you would help us to be filled with cheerful, calm delight as we realize and know and understand how very much we're loved. For those who couldn't be here with us this morning, help them to know they're loved wherever they are. Healing for sickness, restoration of souls where it's needed, and for calmness under pressure for all of us in every situation. Traveling graces as well. And for all these things, for this next week's service, we give you thanks in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Shepherd, if you're playing, me and Jeff was there last week, the other week over there.
Yeah.
At the job site this week, there's 3 burros and 2 goats, 5 dogs over there. Like a picture you want to see.
Wow.
3 burros, 2 goats, 5 dogs.
What did they do over there?
This is they have. They're like the goat goes in the kitchen.
Oh, that's so neat.